Welcome back, Richard. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
And today is a day of celebration
It is.
because school starts back this week.
Well, you know, it's funny because in May and June, parents say, "Oh, I'm so glad school is over. It's such a relief to have, you know." And then August rolls around, so, "Oh my God, I'm so glad school is starting again." You
Yeah,
know.
I was walking past a mother and her daughter, like teenage daughter, in the waiting room the other day. And I know them. And so I know the mom is a teacher and the girl is in middle school. And I said, "You guys ready for school to start back?" And the girl was said, "Yeah." And the
Yeah.
mom was like, "No."
Yeah, for some it's a relief, and for others it's, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Exactly.
So yes, the start of school, it's a red letter day, one of those great beginnings, another great beginning. But I have to tell you, it's nice to feel like it's a normal going back to school year, you know, and I don't have children in school anymore, but for a while during the COVID, during the pandemic, you know, the start of school was very different.
Right.
And now it feels, it has that old feeling again that yes, life is returning to some degree of normal.
Absolutely. And there
Yeah.
is so much to talk about this school year because,
Oh my gosh,
especially
especially.
in our state and some of the things that have changed here in Florida and in other states. But our topic today, what we're going to focus on today is the an issue that I think most parents are dealing with. And
Right.
that is, okay, so now school is starting back. How do I handle my kids' use of social media and electronics? Because, we just got out of the summer and, it seems as though no matter how much we know, how much we appreciate about the effects of social media and electronics and the overuse of those things, we end up getting right back to, over the summer they're on the devices all the time, and when school starts back, they have to cut back on that use.
That's right. One of the great challenges, it used to be bedtime was the great
Right.
challenge, you know. Now it's, I think it's this contest. In fact, I was sort of in a playful mood when I was just first thinking about this topic, and I thought, in this corner we have schoolwork and chores and bedtime and hygiene and practicing the piano or music lessons or sports activities. So we have all those things in one corner. Then in the other corner, we have digital media, electronic devices. And so as we begin this new school year, you just have this feeling that there's going to be this contest between all of the obligations and responsibilities that children have versus the allure of digital media and electronic devices.
Absolutely. So parents are trying to understand what do they need to do. And
Right.
so we thought we would help parents today on the podcast by helping them, first create a plan.
Right.
And
Step one.
you always have to start with a plan. And the first part of developing a plan is to decide what is needed. And we kids need to take care of their responsibilities. They need to learn. They need to be participating in school. So we want them to develop skills, regardless of the kid's age. We want them to develop skills and we want them to build their knowledge base, right?
Right.
So we know that those are the underlying needs of everything, right?
That's right. Yeah. First of all, you need a plan. I mean, I shouldn't say most parents, many of us spend more time planning a vacation than we do planning the rest of our lives. And so parents sit down calmly and develop a plan. And the plan begins with what do your kids need? And for most parents, it's pretty easy. What kids need is to develop skills. And by skills, we mean motor skills and social skills, as well as everything else. And they need knowledge. They have to build a knowledge base, not just school knowledge, but also knowledge about the world. They have to learn about things. Okay. So first of all, you need decide what the kids need. And then the second step is decide. The first step is kind of easy. The second step is a little more difficult. That's to decide who's in charge.
And I think that when parents hear that, they're going to say, "Well, that seems obvious." And it maybe does and maybe should, But then again, you look at some of those dynamics in the family, and that is a little bit different, because the dynamics in individual homes, and the way that, you know, who's in charge and who makes decisions and who really has control over what, mm-hmm. does vary pretty greatly.
That's right. You know, remember that you're asking kids, especially after a long summer vacation, you're asking kids to do things that many times they don't want to do. Right. And so I say it's more difficult because you're wresting control. You're seeking control of everything. And kids will naturally resist because they want to do fun stuff. And that's normal. So you're getting a little resistance. So it's not an easy task, but it's one that you have to approach. You have to decide who's going to be in charge of the schedule.
Right. And so as you're working through this process, it's really important for parents to stay calm and to stay calm and to you know, resist that tendency or that urge to move towards punishment and consequences and a lot of those more punitive things.
Right.
But, you know, as part of this plan that you're developing, you have to work with your child. You have to, you know, not just show them who's in charge and tell them who's in charge and do so by the use of punitive measures, but you're doing it by working with them and helping them develop the skills, but also the organization and the planning and the, you know, just those skills that they need.
That's right. They don't have those skills. Most kids don't have those skills yet. So we have to be there. But we want you to do this calmly. You know, if you're doing it, if you can only get control by screaming and threatening and punishing, there's some work to do, okay? Because this should all happen with everybody staying reasonably calm. It's not going to happen every single day. But by and large, if you're going to take charge, you have to do it in a calm way. You shouldn't be screaming and threatening and yelling to get your kids to do the things that they need to do each day.
Absolutely. So let's remember that the topic that we're talking about today has to do with the use of digital media. And so when we're thinking about this plan, what we're talking about is being able to create a plan or a system wherein the child is able to balance their obligations, the things that they have to do, and that may include chores and schoolwork and, right. You know, again, as you said, you know, going to bed on time and, you know, getting good rest and exercise and all those things, balancing all of that with their digital media use, whether it's video games or computers or social media or whatever it is. Right. And so when you're working on your plan, it will vary depending on the age of the child.
That's right. This is all age dependent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So with younger kids, you know, let's remember that preschool age kids, for example, it really is recommended that kids aren't on digital devices or electronic devices at all, at most maybe an hour a day. And that's if the parent is sitting with them, right? And so
until what age?
Until about 5 or so.
That's right. Children until age 5 shouldn't even be on, if they're on the devices, shouldn't be more than about an hour a day.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, if you're exceeding that, if your kids weren't running around with an iPad for 8 or 9 or 6, 3 hours a day, there's excess use.
Right.
It means something else. So something else is being sacrificed.
Right. So if you have little ones, and we're talking about early elementary school years,
right.
It's so important for parents to be attentive and involved. And sorry, parents, this is going to be hard, but understand this is coming from love. You have to get off your phone. You know, Richard, how many times do we see you walk out into our waiting room, and we don't even have that big of a waiting room, but you walk out into the waiting room and you hear this kid rustling around, climbing up on chairs and everything, and the parent is sitting there scrolling through their phone.
Right.
Not right. even aware of what the kid is doing.
You know, I think we need to confront that, talk about that a little bit more, because parents today are as distracted as their children. I mean, come on, let's face it. Parents are not fully attentive to kids. If the TV is on, if you're on your iPad, if you're on your iPhone, if your Apple Watch is going off and going off and going, you're not fully attentive to your children. Oh. So when we say, what is a parent to do? The first thing a parent needs to do is unplug and be attentive to your children, at least at these critical times during the day. We're not asking you to unplug completely. Nobody's asking you to do that. But when you want your kids to go to bed, you need to be completely attentive and focused on that single task until it becomes routine. You don't have to do it for the rest of your life, but until bedtime becomes routine, you need to be fully engaged. So step one is you need to turn everything off and be completely attentive in those times.
And what we're talking about in those times that we're talking about is developing really good routines.
That's right.
From the time they wake up until they're getting off to school, in the afternoons when they get home from school, or as you're preparing evening meals, and then bedtime.
You know, that's right.
Those three times. Now, most kids have some free time between the time they get out of school and dinner, or between dinner and bedtime.
Right.
So there's some free time for the kids, and maybe that's some free time for you as well.
Right.
But as you know, I think, Richard, you said it very well. Until those routines, morning routine, mealtime routine, which maybe includes homework,
right,
and bedtime routines, until those routines are well established, you have to unplug and be completely engaged. Because, you know, when you're talking about kids this young, they're fully dependent on you. They're not going to do it unless you're there with them.
That's right. That's right. And so you have to be fully attentive. You have to establish these three times for these age kids up to 5 or 6 or 7. You have a morning routine, you have an evening meal, and you have bedtime. Just focus on those three. Okay, get those established, and the rest of the year is going to be much easier. And you have to be firm. You have to be consistent. You have to be convincing. This is what's going to require your full attention. You have to convince them that this is how we're going to do things. You're not going to scream and yell to get it done, but you're going to always be leaning on them that, no, this is the way we do it. This is how we're going to do this year. And you just continue to preach that, to pound on that same drum. They'll get the message. Okay, my parents are not going to give in on this. I'm going to have to do what they're asking me to do. Okay.
Right.
That's for the littles. Now, it changes a little when you get to late elementary and middle, right before middle school, late elementary. We call those tweeners. Those are kids who are probably beyond third grade, but not yet in middle school.
Yeah, okay? Like 8 to 11, 8 to 10.
8 to 11, right.
For many of it, many things, the idea is exactly the same. You know, you have to be attentive because there's, again, still dependent. You know, right. There's not a lot of 8-year-olds that independently on their own come get home and like open their backpack and get out homework or wake themselves up in the morning and get themselves fully dressed and get dinner or breakfast and all of that. So again, you have to be attentive, which means you have to unplug as you're establishing those age-appropriate routines. And again, we're talking about morning routines. We're talking about evening meal, again, including homework. This age group may have chores and things like that. And then bedtime.
That's right.
You have to establish those routines.
Yeah, with these kids, they should be doing their chores on a routine basis. You shouldn't still be fighting about chores. This should have been established. Okay, so again, you need to be firm. You need to be consistent. The difference with tweeners is that these kids are reaching an age now after age 8. Where you can begin to use a more collaborative approach that, you know, get their opinion, value their opinion. Mm-hmm. You need to recognize that after third or fourth grade, you're no longer in complete control of the problem, nor should you be, because now you're getting them ready for their teenage years, which is a completely different set of circumstances. And so you have to begin using a collaborative approach where you sit down with the child and start to negotiate some of this stuff. Okay.
Right.
You don't turn over control. But you have to begin to turn over some control to the kids.
Right. So for example, something that you might do is you might say, okay, I know that you want to play your Xbox, but you have these other obligations that you have to meet. Exactly. You can be on your Xbox before dinner, right when you get home from school. But then after dinner, you have to spend the rest of the evening getting your chores done, getting your homework done and all in bed. Sometimes that's really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So the other side is when you get home from school, you can have a little snack and you can do your homework and get your chores done before dinner. And then you have from dinner after dinner until bedtime to play on your Xbox. So you're working with them, letting them have some say, having, letting them have some buy-in to the process. And they're going to be more engaged, more agreeable if they feel as though they have some say in the process.
That's right. The, you have to begin this collaborative process. Mm-hmm. If your children want to go, they have to learn about themselves. If they're better off doing homework as soon as they get home, I mean, that's what you want them to learn how to do. What's the, when do you want to do your homework? Do you want to get everything done before dinner so you have free time after dinner for your devices? Or do you want to do your devices now and homework later? Okay. So let them negotiate. Do you need a snack or do you want to have an early dinner? You know, would you? So these are things that you have to talk about with your children, work these things out.
Right. And the, you know, you're just at the beginning stages of this at this age group, so that you're going to have to guide them through much of it. You're going to have to sometimes even lead them to the answers that you know that they need.
Right.
Most kids, again, let's just be honest, most kids are going to do better if they do their homework immediately after school.
Exactly.
Right. It has to do with the brain mode that they're in at the time. Mm-hmm. But most of you parents know, as soon as your kids get on the Xbox, getting them off the Xbox and then trying to do homework is incredibly difficult.
That's so right.
At this age, you really have to guide them to the answer of, you know what, I'm going to do homework first. And then after dinner, then I have the rest of the evening to do.
I wouldn't do it any other way with these, with kids this age. I would not do that. In fact, throughout, I wouldn't do it any other way, because once they leave school mode and jump into electronic mode, it's very difficult to get them back. The other thing you don't want to get into is, well, let me play my video games and then I'll do homework. That's like, I don't want to earn the money. Why don't you give me the money and why don't you lend me the money and I'll pay you back, or I'll do the work later. No, you do the work and then you get paid. And it's the same with this. Remember what we're talking about. What you said earlier was this is a battle, a contest between social media, being on their devices, and taking care of their obligations.
Right.
So what a parent has to be thinking about is, you have to take care of the obligations first, and then you get your free time. Do whatever you want with your free time.
Right.
But first of all, you have to do these obligations. That's what you want to teach them. When they go to college, what do you want them to do? First, you do your assignments, and then you have free time.
Right. And it all starts at this age. Now,
that's right.
As we move into early adolescence, early teenage years, so middle school and the beginning of high school, perhaps, you know, again, we're shifting more and more of the responsibility to them. We're handing over the reins to them more and more. If you are starting this process with, you know, one of those late elementary school kids, this part is going to be much easier because you're developing a routine that they will just continue. If you're just now starting with this and your kid's already an early teenager, it's going to be a little bit more difficult because their default is going to be to go back to what they were doing before. And they're going to keep pushing and keep resisting. And so you're going to have to be more involved in those circumstances. But with these early teenagers, much of what we're talking about is exactly the same, you know, being attentive, establishing those routines, being firm, being consistent. But again, you're handing over more and more of the obligations to the child, to where, you know, I'm not going to fight you about your homework. If you say you don't have homework and you don't do homework, but you really do have homework, and then you get a bad grade because then there's going to be a consequence to that.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here and fight with you every night about what you're
doing. No, you can't have those homework battles.
Right.
Okay, you have to avoid these nightly skirmishes because they're going to end badly. That's why you establish the routines early. And when you get to these young teenage years, these young teenagers are really full of themselves. This is middle school. And we all know middle school is where most of the challenges are going to occur.
Right.
And so these middle school kids are far less dependent on you. They can walk out the door. You know, a 7 or 8 year old isn't going to walk out the door, but a 12 or 13 or 14 year old will. They'll just walk out of the house. Mm-hmm. And they're also more resistant. Now you get into these teenage years. So you know going into it that these kids are going to be a little less dependent and a lot more resistant. Right. And so now is the time where you have to increase the use of a collaborative approach. Right. They need to feel that they have some decision making. If mm-hmm. you don't let them have it, they're going to take it. And taking it is going to lead to a power struggle. And so you begin to hand them the reins. But remember, the training wheels are still on. This is still a learner's permit. Right. You're not turning it over to them. You're saying, okay, we can negotiate this stuff. But when you negotiate, you want to negotiate a win-win.
Right.
You want to feel okay about it. You want them to feel okay about it. Then you know that you're going to have some reasonable chance of success.
Right. A great example of this that I worked on with a family recently is bedtime. And, you know, they find that, you know, they are working to get their middle schooler to bed. And I will admit that trying to get a middle schooler to go to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening is pretty early. That's early for a middle schooler to go to bed. Yeah, as kids reach adolescence, their natural biology is going to press them to stay up later. But that's it for another podcast. For now, you know, but they are fighting. And what happens is they put the kid, the teenager or the middle schooler in their bedroom, supposedly to bed at 8 o'clock, but the kid will lay there awake until 10, 11 o'clock mm-hmm. at night because they're not tired or for whatever reason. And so this negotiation is, okay, well, what time, asking the child, what time do you think is a reasonable time to go to bed? You have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, 8 hours means that you have to go to bed by 10 o'clock. What time do you think is a reasonable time? Well, I think I should be able to stay up till 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, you have to get up at 6. So if you stay up until 10, as long as there's no problem in the morning, mm-hmm. fine. But as soon as you aren't getting up at, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning when your alarm goes off or when I come in to wake you up, as soon as that becomes a problem, then we're going to shift the bedtime to earlier. So right. as long as you're getting up and doing what you need to do, that's fine.
That's but right.
if you're fighting me about going to bed at 10 o'clock, or if you're not getting up in the morning, then we're going to have to adjust that time again.
That's right. And that's why the bedtime routine and the morning routine are holding that's a single issue. Because right. if your child is not getting up in the morning, if you're having a morning routine battle, getting them out of bed, it only means one thing. They're staying up too late. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not going to even guess. All I know is if you can't get up at 6 o'clock, you're going to bed too late. You're going to sleep too late. So we have to dial it back. I'm sorry. We have no choice.
Yeah. So that is, but you're putting that into their court. Now,
that's right. It's up
as
to them.
The parent, you still have a lot of involvement in that, mm-hmm. but you're putting that onto them and you're starting to hand that over to them. Now, again, it shifts even more as you get into older teenagers mm-hmm. where you're still primarily using that collaborative approach.
Right.
But I mean, let's be honest, when you have 16, 17, 18 year old, they've got the reins. They're making the decisions.
Whether you want them to or not, they're going to. I mean, these kids will leave the house. And here's the difference with older teens. Once they and their friends get to the age where they can drive cars, mm-hmm. they now can leave the house. You're not there and you don't know where they're going. You think you know where they're going, but you don't know where they're going. And so they are, in fact, in control. And there's far less that you can do about that.
Right.
It's just a fact of life that you don't have anywhere near the control that you had just a few years ago. Right. And so once again, you have to maintain these age-appropriate routines. What is their role for dinner? Dinner preparation, eating the meal, and cleaning up afterwards. Right. This idea that kids can come to the table, eat, and walk away and leave the dishes for somebody else, that's not a message you want your kids to have, that they're just there to eat the meal and then go back to their bedrooms. That's not how this should be working. So you have to maintain these routines that should have been established when they were very young.
Okay. Right.
That's why I keep harping about routines. So once you establish these routines, that's just the way you do things.
Right. And the collaborative, for the exactly the reason that you were saying, the collaborative approach is so important at this age because they can just leave. And so you want them to feel as though they have some voice, some control over their life. Because if they don't feel like they have control of their life, they're going to take control of their life. And so that's when they're just going to walk out. They're just going to leave. They're going to tell you one thing, do something completely different. And you will have, you know, the unfortunate reality is that you'll have very little awareness until afterward.
Right. And so if your kids are afraid to talk to you, because they're afraid of punishment, they're not going to talk to you. Right. They're going to lie. They're going to sneak. They're going to go behind your back. They're going to do everything they can to do what they want to do and to avoid the punishment. Right. So you have to put away the punishment stick at some point, because you want to keep communication open with your children. You are not going to be the decision maker when they're after age 15 or 16. Right. Please don't have that illusion. You are not going to be in complete control, no matter how much control you think you have, because you're not, unless you're with your child 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you don't have complete control.
Absolutely.
And so you have to hand them control, but you have to trust them. Well, how do you trust them? By doing all the work prior to the teenage years.
Absolutely. So we know it's tough. We know it's a challenge, but, you know, we hope that everyone has a good start to the school year and can make some of these adjustments, you know, smoothly, and that, you know, some of these transitions happen without too many.
Yeah. Spend your time and energy establishing routines. You know, when I grew up, there were certain things that were going to happen. I mean, it's just the way we lived. There was no question of what I was going to be doing on Sunday morning.
Right.
Or on, you know, I knew where I was going to be every Sunday at noon. We went to my grandparents. I never even questioned it, because it's just what we did. And that's what we want to establish here. It's just what we do. And that's what you have to establish in your families. These are the ways that we do things.
Absolutely.
And you establish those early and you keep them going. And then it gets easier each year.
Absolutely.
Maintaining the routines.
That's right. So, all right. Well, that is it for this week. We hope everyone has a good start to the school year, both teachers and students. And hopefully this will be a very positive year for everyone. So, all right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.